Section 2. How do I find a good property manager? Chapter 5. Not all property management companies are created equal. In the summer of 2002, owners that we already managed one property for approached me to manage another property for them, the very same property I briefly talked about in my introduction. The 100-unit building was in a very rough part of town. I went out to the property and was shocked on my initial walkthrough. Very rarely had I ever seen a property that was so disastrously managed. There is no doubt that the property faced challenges given its location, but it seemed as if the manager had given up on the building. I could immediately tell that managing this building was going to be a challenge of the first order. Luckily, I enjoy challenges. Because of my relationship with the owners, I elected to take on the management of the property. The first problem the owners had was that they had signed a property management agreement that was fee-based rather than based on a percentage of the income collected. As I indicated earlier, if you are going to use a third-party management company, you should always make sure they collect their income based on the property's income. It is just too easy for someone to become complacent if they know the money will come in no matter their performance. Even though I enjoy a good challenge, I still had huge reservations about taking on the task of managing this property. For over 2 months, the owners and I went back and forth on negotiating terms that would be fair for me to accept the job. There was such a large amount of outstanding unpaid bills that I made it a condition that the owner bring all accounts up to date before we even stepped foot on the property, which they did. We needed this to happen to even have a fighting chance of fixing the problems the property faced. When we finally did take over the property in March of 2003, we were shocked at the condition and state at which it was operating. Immediately, we walked each of the 100 units. We found significant deferred maintenance. Nearly every unit on the property required a large amount of renovation work, including the occupied units. In the end, 98 units needed work of one variety or another, with a total bill of $106,000. Because the property was in such a state of disrepair, rents were significantly below market, and once we began to dig into the financials, we found some pretty astonishing things. Shockingly, the rent income was about $145,694 below market. Based on a 6% capitalization rate, that alone devalued the property by $2.4 million. Operating expenses were too high as well. The previous manager had not explored any ways to save money. A couple quick phone calls on our part saved about $20,000 annually in operating expenses. It was the owner's intention to sell the building since it was such a burden. This, however, was a futile effort. The actual cash flow for the financial year ended up being negative $166,373. That was an operating loss that equated to 4% of the entire value of the building. That means that the building was actually unsellable, since, as we've discussed, value is based on operations. Had they tried, I think the owners would have had a hard time giving the building away.